Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable. This episode, Worldly Wade is looking sharp and gets into his smells, Summoner, and slamming PvP. Meritable Mark advises Suckling for manliness and wants to return to the magic rug and the diabolic dungeon. Bookish Bob the Oxygen Aficionado brings up Battlefront, the cast, and gears. From missed movies to in-game used cars. Yes, it's time for Games Are Getting Older. Now sit back and prepare to be distracted and enjoy the show.
Hi, welcome to Distractable, everyone. Hope you're all on a fantastic day. I'm hosting again, and I don't know why I'm still talking like this, but hey, we're here and we're happy.
I feel so comforted, like a reading rainbow style. It's great.
You're like a little kid who's talking to a librarian.
Well, what I'm looking for is actually Where the Red Fern Grows. Why is that the story that I thought of? I don't know. You guys ever read that or watch that movie? That was depressing.
I'm actually looking for the novelization of Caddyshack. You guys have that?
I don't know any of these references.
I feel like you would enjoy Caddyshack. It's very funny.
You know, the thing about old movies that I always have to wonder is like, okay, so as things come out and years go by and controversies see the light of day, how many of these old movies can we not go like, oh man, I love that movie? Or is the art separable from the artists? Who, I'm not saying anyone in Caddyshack did, but I don't know that they didn't.
Chevy Chase definitely turned out to be a real dick ass. My feeling is like, there's a difference between my nostalgic remembrance of watching it and what I think about things like that once I learn that it was terribly racist or something bad happened or is associated with it. I still feel like I'm allowed to be nostalgic, but then the follow-up to that is like, but it's kind of soured now, usually. But that's part, like when I watched that when I was younger, I loved that movie. It's very funny.
Yeah, I think you're still allowed to enjoy it. I think there's a difference between just like personally enjoying things like that and then like maybe coming out and promoting and telling people to watch it now. Like on our platform, you know, we have a public platform. Maybe you shouldn't be like, hey, go watch this. This guy's terrible. God, we should support him. Here's his GoFundMe. Versus just like, you know, in our private time, we're like, Caddyshack, I loved you as a kid. You're funny.
But I've never seen it. And I might as well not at this point because, you know, I've lived with it this long. I don't need the risk, you know what I mean?
But no, how are you guys? Welcome everyone to the show where we talk as we're doing right now. How are you two doing?
I went to the gym this morning, but I forgot my earbuds. So that's basically the worst thing that you can do. I you know what I had to do while I worked out? Read a book.
Oh.
No, actually, I am reading a really good book right now. I'm not a big reader, but the author who wrote The Martian, that was turned into the movie with Matt Damon, wrote a book called Artemis, about the Artemis's colony on the moon in the near future. It's very good so far.
Did someone get stranded alone there and through the sheer perseverance of human suffering endure?
So far, it's 2,000 people living on the moon in bubbles named after astronauts. And that's I'm barely through like the first few chapters. I'm like maybe 80 pages in tops. So but it's fun. I mean, I just like the writer's style so far. The like near future sci-fi is a fun genre, I feel like, because it's not so disconnected from where we are now. You're like, yeah, well, we'll have a lunar colony at some point. That could happen.
Well, I'm so sorry you had to suffer through that while working out, Bob. It sounds terrible the more you talk about it.
Yeah, well, redoing that while working out is not what I would choose. I like to read in bed, okay, in the comfort.
It's interesting that you had a book. I guess did you know you were going to need a book?
It's on my phone. I've just been reading. I read it on my phone and my tablet, and so I just opened it on my phone and read it.
I don't know how I feel about reading on, like, I still prefer turning pages for some reason. Like, I like the feel of turning pages.
My phone has pages.
Yeah, you could, well, I don't even do that. Not on my phone. I just...
I make the little noise in my head. I'm all...
No, you do that out loud at the gym.
I also take calls on speakerphone and watch YouTube videos at full volume in public at the gym. That's me. But they call me... Nah, I'm not gonna make that joke. Let's move on.
Oh, okay. I don't know either, but 2 points for it.
Look, I'm not gonna discount that there are people of a certain age range who do stuff like that, but it's not all of them. And the ones who are loud and obnoxious don't represent all of them. Okay, there's a lot of cheap shots at generations in general. Millennials get a lot of cheap shots. Zoomers take a lot of cheap shots. Boomers take the most cheap shots of a generation right now, I feel like.
I mean, that is actually a reality, because at this point, boomers, like, what is the average age of the boomer generation? Average age of,
I mean, it's
boomers.
People born
to 94.
I didn't know this, but I think they're all boomers. So it's 46 to 64, because I feel like, okay, millennials span a pretty large age range. 28 to 43 is like the age range right now for millennials, they say, which puts Gen Z at like 27. I feel like that's that's a nebulous zone of where the crossover is, it's hard to find. If we can all agree on one generation that deserves the hate, it's Gen Alpha, because they can't read.
Yeah!
Which one are we again? Millennial?
Well, I don't know what you are, because your age is... We don't know what your age really is.
I'm 2 months older than you.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's also hard to gauge because you trimmed your beard, and that took many years off. Like, I gotta say, I haven't seen your chin in a long time.
I thought it was too short. You guys think it looks good?
We had dinner the other night, and you just trimmed right. It looks good. I didn't say it because we had the baby, and I was kind of preoccupied. But like, yeah, it looks nice.
I think what you should do is you should do grow your mustache out, but keep this level of beard that's in right now. I mean, that's just a good look no matter what.
Maybe aesthetically, but dealing with them is the worst because it crawls into your mouth or else it like absorbs all the food and drink.
Well, you trim it here. You trim it on your lip.
But even when you go to like drink out of a cup, it's like it sucks it all up and you're like...
Use a nipple. What is it? Bob, you know.
It's a nipple. Baby bottles? They're called nipples.
Baby bottle. Baby bottle. Use a baby bottle. Suck on a titty. Be a man.
All right, you know what? I think I will. I'm going to go over. I'm going to get a nice big boob to hold my liquids in. Thank you.
Mark, I could see why you were the one who was the Sigma male when we did that episode. It all makes sense now.
I'm busy mewing.
I was going to ask if you had anything you wanted to talk about small talk wise other than milk, but...
Oh, that was my small talk. Like, that's a weird topic, Wade. No, it's my weird small talk. How are you, Mark?
I have been working, like I said, on the final sprint of the movie. People who are sick of hearing about that will soon have to not hear about it so much longer.
God, it's so much better to hear about that than lenses. So, you know what? 1 point for movie. Another point for no lenses.
I haven't gotten any new lenses either.
Now, you know what? Here's a point for you, then. There you go.
Because, you know, you reach a point where you have basically what you need, and after the recent escapades with German Jesus... We basically have everything that we need going into the future. That was the missing piece.
That negative 18 point losing guy.
Yeah, I know. He really didn't do very well that episode, but it was a memorable loss. And if you're going to lose...
Oh, he had -8 at the end. -8.
Yeah, if you're going to lose, you might as well lose in a memorable way. But I do want to apologize for the state of the subreddit as it is. Because
what do you mean, Mark?
See, I don't understand why the first time that I go on, like, can anyone help with lenses? And then people actually do. And then they hear about someone crashed their car and had $8,000 in damages. And suddenly everyone's like, put me in danger. Throw me off a bridge for a lens.
You're talking about people of the IQ that watch us. That was it, all of you. You still love me. I'm the distractible subreddit favorite, but... Like, let's be honest with ourselves.
But yeah, lo and behold, on the subreddit, everyone who has ever like seen a lens, even lenses that aren't Minolta's, being like, I found it! And I'm like, guys, the objective has been completed. I needed more than one. I did not need all of them.
Well, I really like that when that started, you had people who were like, it's a Minolta, well, I forget what the number is, like a CD-135, but it was the F2.2 and people were, or 2.8 or whatever. People were like, is this? And people were like, nah, that's the 2.8. That's the, he wants the two. But then it just kept progressing to be like, this is a Canon lens that I scribbled on Minolta with a Sharpie. Does he need this one? Like, no.
I hope this isn't what I sound like to people when I bring up my lenses, but I feel like, it's okay, everybody. You missed your chance. You didn't shoot your shot when I first needed it.
It was a long stretch there where they had the opportunity.
And there was someone else who helped out with lenses, too. I believe their name is... God. What a weird name.
Thank you, oh fucking oh God. Thank you for not costing Mark an extra, like, $500,000.
You could even say that you did a better job than Jesus did getting the lens. You could say that.
I don't want to say that, and... To be honest, who am I to say that?
I do want to address one thing. I didn't see a lot of this, but I saw some people on the subreddit who were like, Mark laughing at the guy who almost died to get the lens is so rude. But let me just say that I think they're cool. And also, Mark offered to pay for all the damage. Like, he didn't. It's okay. We weren't laughing at him. He was telling a story that was crazy. It's okay, everybody. He's fine. And his car will be fixed. Eventually.
Also, probably unrelated anecdote that I'm going to make an absurd connection to. His car repair was expensive, but you associate with lenses, he's got a nice car. I'm not saying they're not unrelated.
That lens is inextricably tied to that car.
I unfortunately have to remove poise from both of you at this point because this lens talk has come back.
Yeah, this is actually, I believe all these conversations are triggering for Wade because, you know, the damaged car and lenses in general, but...
Could I just say, too, I mean, I was there, but I didn't instigate it. We had dinner with a group of friends who are not on this podcast, clearly other friends. They make fun of Wade for not having a car also. It was not just me, and it's not just me and Mark. Everybody thinks it's funny that Wade has not bought a car yet.
It's in progress. We are checking out cars. I'm talking to people about cars. The gears, the wheels are turning. It's my turn for small talk. Your guys' turn is over. Have you guys heard of GameScent?
No.
No.
What is that?
For $150, you can get a device that automatically releases scents, gunfire, forest, explosions, and more during game events compatible with all games platforms, six scents included.
Ah, I thought this was like a deodorant or a line of...
No, this is smell while you play. You want to game and have the experience of odor?
You ever want to feel like you're on cruise... What's that Disney ride called? Soarin', California, but you're playing Halo?
Okay, if I could be playing Helldivers and I smell the smell of gunpowder and physoline and napalm in the morning, you know, but also bug guts, I guess, wouldn't be the... Well, I'm fighting the automaton, so I don't encounter those bugs. So just oil. Yeah, maybe, you know, I actually enjoyed that.
Do you really like, okay, you're done playing Helldivers. You play for 2 hours where these scents are released and you're done. You wrap up and now your house just smells like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I want that. What does Madden smell like? Is it just like locker room stank?
Sweat, urine, shit, and fear.
Wait, who's... hang on. I played football for a while. Is there more poop now in football than I remember? Where's the poop come in there?
Yeah, it's a strategy. People are less likely to want to tackle you when you're smell like and covered in feces.
You can't put stick-em on your gloves anymore, so people will use what they got, I guess. You eat the right diet, it can be just as sticky.
Okay. How do you restock these smells? Like, do they sell an assortment? Like Burt's Every Flavored Beans or...
It's a big hexagon-shaped container, and it looks like there's a hole for each of the six current scents. So I'm imagining there's just a...
Six? Is this like the primary scents that you mix and make any scent possible?
So, you know, sweet, sour, bullets.
Oh, here we go. Events that trigger scents are gunfire, explosions, racing, clean air, ocean, and forest.
What, racing?
Yeah, racing. Ocean, napalm, fresh cut grass, human exertion, blood, and big city.
Can I just say the very first thing I saw, I Googled it and I opened their website. Powered by AI, baby.
Do they sell scent cartridges, which I'm guessing are kind of like the things you plug into your wall?
This is cool for if you're gaming at home. What if you mainly watch Twitch streams? Can you tell it to watch the gameplay of a Twitch stream and then get 5D Twitch viewing?
Okay, conceptually, I'm into it, but I do have a little bit of difficulty understanding just how you get so much experience out of six scents, because you could just light a candle.
You can buy more. There's others available. It's just six at a time. You can swap them out.
I see.
So
okay.
That's what I was saying. Right, they have the original six, but then there's additional scents. There's an additional 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right. So there's 12 total scents right now you can get.
I'm not a huge fan of this. On their front page of their website, there's a video with like a streamer bro promoting it and stuff. The first thing he says is, "Have you ever wondered what your game waifu smells like?" Now you don't have to wonder anymore.
Human exertion. I was like, is that like working out? Is that a sex scene? What is human exertion?
They got blood.
Yeah, blood. The smell of blood in the morning. Big city.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like if you're sitting next to someone and they fart, you're not going to know until like 10 seconds later when it wafts over to you. There's like a delay on this. What happens when you get a fresh kill and then the cutscene starts where you're making love with your waifu and then all of a sudden it's blood and gunpowder all in your nose? Like, they're not going to be able to get to the human exertion.
There's actually an attachment that they sell. Some of them can feed into a hose that you put right into one of your nostrils.
Ah,
so there's an immediate smell option, but then there's also wafted smells.
Instead of your oxygen tank, you've got your scent tank you carry around and keep in plugged in at all times.
Hey, is this a thing I made up? Do you guys remember in college oxygen bars?
Oh, yeah.
I specifically remember on campus at UC, there was a place where you could stop by and get some scented or flavored oxygen.
I think it's still a thing.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's still a thing.
That's the one and only one I've ever seen in real life. So I...
Points for that memory, Bob.
Here's the thing about an oxygen bar is, from what I understand, I've never been to one, but they pump higher percentage oxygen into you.
Which is medically proven to be make you feel good. Like, it does stuff. It does things.
Gives you an oxygen high. But you can also do that by just going and you'll get lightheaded. Isn't that the same thing? You're saturating your blood with more oxygen than you need.
Well, but it's not scented, so you need like an orange wedge right under your nose to just be like...
Like, right there, I just got a little lightheaded. Isn't that the same kind of thing?
Or just breathing a lot next to someone who, like, took in a bean burrito recently, and you can get the scent from that. Like, there's a lot of different ways you can get scents.
You hire your 6 scent guards to be of different, like, backgrounds and diets, and you're like, you, come closer. Excellent.
This guy's got wintergreen gum breath. This guy's got bean burrito farts. This guy's covered in fresh-cut grass.
It's like, I don't know why I had this image. It's like the artist who's like, I must paint you. He's wide out of the street. He's like, you, I must smell you. That's the creepiest thing I've said all day.
Yeah. Well, technically, I think people do that.
You know what, Bob? A creepy point.
I was at a basketball game recently, which I haven't been to a basketball game in a while. That was pretty fun. I think it's been 7 years.
What level? Like high school, college?
It was the Clippers versus the Kings.
Oh, pro game. Okay, NBA game.
Yeah, so, and it was a good game. It was very fun. Catherine was in town, so, like, she's a lifelong fan of the Kings. Went there, but totally unrelated to the basketball. Someone was, like, in the row in front of us, and they were letting some people go by. And I swear, this dude, like, leaned down to the girl, there was a couple going by in the back, and just went like, I swear. And I just, I gave him like, just, he was not looking at me, like, I was looking at that. I was like, what the fuck? Did anyone else just see that? What?
You gotta engage with that to see if it's real or not. You gotta real loud so that everyone can hear, just be like, oh bro, how did she smell? I would have done the same thing if I could reach.
Now I want to point out, it wasn't a comical like
no, it was a creepy.
It was just creepy. Like, either looking at her ass, but I swear that there was some air rushing. There was a wind, a breeze brushed by my hair, wafted towards it. Like, and like, I have no idea. It's just very strange.
I'm picturing someone, I know this isn't what happened, but in my brain, when you first mentioned it, I picture someone literally like trying to get to their seat going across the entire row and be like, oh, sorry, wrong section. Then like sniffing on the way back and going down another row.
Excuse me. sorry. Pardon me.
And I'm misunderstanding another part of this. Did they sniff like someone's hair in the row above them, or did they sniff someone's ass as they walked by?
They sniffed the person who was scooching past them to get to their seat.
You know what, Mark? Point for having to witness that.
It was like, I saw it from behind, but it was enough of like a movement that it was odd what was going on. And my back of my brain just went, did that guy just sniff her?
It's depressing when I hear women talk about how much of that sort of stuff they have to deal with in public, but that's creepy. I don't like that.
That is creepy. I don't think anyone's ever wanted to smell me.
Hey, you trimmed your beard. Maybe I'll start getting some sniffs.
That's true. I just need to go to some live sporting events to see if someone will smell me. I'm going to get one of those like bumper stickers on my like pants or back. It's just like, if you can read this, sniff.
You could get a sponsor and just have like one of those like rolling screens on your ass. Just stick an iPad there.
Well, we do have, I don't know if we do have, but we've talked about having losing sponsors for the podcast. So I guess sniffing sponsors could work too.
I've been getting some emails. I don't know why they're coming to me exactly, but I have some people who are interested in potentially sponsoring some loser speeches. We need to.
I had someone offer $10 at my live stream. Like, I'll give you $10 for the loser speech.
Sold.
That's, I think some of the ones I got were like a couple bucks, but I was still like, eh, maybe.
$10. That's the high price. We'll just raise the price, you know, every time someone bids it.
I will say some people seemed interested in buying a loser's speech for a particular host. So I don't know. I don't know if we're going to do that or not. That's logistical.
And you both get a point for us all agreeing on that. There we go.
It's the bylaws.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
We've been talking for a long time. I don't know why. We've had long small talk lately, but I'm going to hop into our topic, which we can make shorter. It's fine. It's not a crazy topic. Video games have been on my mind a lot because I spent so long trying to get Helldivers 2 to work, and I did. It's working now, and the way I got it to work was by waiting for a patch.
Hooray! I'm glad you worked so hard on that.
So I had 100 minutes played, and I had never even gotten to the main menu. People are like, oh, wait, it's because the servers are so busy. I'm like, I never got to the point where servers mattered. I couldn't get into the game. There's a whole, like, adjust your settings. Do you want this? I never got to see any of that. For 100 minutes of the game, 10 hours of real life time trying to get it fixed. There have been talks about some games like Knights of the Old Republic, which I think has a rework. And it got me thinking, what games from our lives do we either want a sequel or a remake for?
Well, I have one that we are getting a remaster of. You guys might be excited about this. Have you seen Battlefield 1 and 2 remaster coming March 14th or something like that?
Remaster
star or not Battlefield sorry not Battlefield, Star Wars Battlefront.
Oh,
like the original,
the Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2 remaster coming to, I don't know if it's PCs and consoles or what.
Those are on my list too,
and it's happening. We're getting that. It's been announced that it's coming out.
You bonus points for having one that's on my list,
and that's on like millions of people's lists.
Oh, I know, but the original Battlefront 2 was so good and the new one was so not.
Yeah, and people have been playing the new Battlefront game just as like,
I don't want PvP. It had a campaign, a fun PvE campaign. And they were like, but what if you get to just Darth Vader's fighting you and your stormtrooper?
Yeah, what if it's just online deathmatch and nothing else?
I have a game immediately that I didn't even remember until just now when I was thinking back into like my early days of gaming. Because I started playing video games when I was like 5 or 6, because my dad had a computer, PC video games specifically, and there's this one called Magic Carpet 2. I don't know about Magic Carpet 1, I never played it. But Magic Carpet 2 was this fascinating game where you are a wizard or something, you're some magic user of some kind, and you're flying around on a magic carpet. And this is back in the day, like this was like mid to later 90s when I was playing this. And I was just a kid, but when you played it, it was completely 3D, you're flying around in the air, you're trying to like beat other wizards, kill all these weird creatures, collect mana, and build your city. And like the concepts of that were fun in and of itself, but it's in 3D and you're moving super fast. I played it with a joystick. Like, I don't remember the last time I played a game with a joystick like this. It might have been one of the, like the Star Wars X-Wing fighter games. But this one was one of the earliest, and it's, I can't describe, because if you look at it now, it's not going to look very impressive, but try to put your mind back when the only other games in the era were like 2D side scrollers, and you know, Doom was there, and like maybe Quake had just started. I don't know. Half-Life was still a few years out. It was nuts. Like, it was nuts. And it was fun. I loved that game just because it had so much crazy shit happening in such a fast-paced way that I just liked it. And I liked the idea of like collecting mana and getting more powerful and getting more spells and leveling up there. It had destructible environments, like literally deformable environments that like you throw out a big fireball, it exploded like a nuke. You build up a city, yeah, and then you would go to other wizards. It was like computer AI wizards that you would go and blow up their cities, and they'd crush down. They'd try to build it back up with more mana. It was wild. And there's weird spinning mana worms. Like, I didn't even know what it was, but I knew that they were important. And you got to collect, like, you got to zap your mind spell, and then it'll float towards your city. It's crazy. And you got hot air balloon collecting all your big mana ball. I don't know. It's nuts. I love that game so much.
That does actually look pretty wild. It came out in 1995, apparently.
That's for 95, like, it was, I'm not going to say ahead of its time, but it definitely was, like, pushing the envelope of what could be done.
It looks like it was one of those games from the time when video games weren't an established thing, where people were just like, what if this was a game? And then they just try and make something with what's available. This looks like one of those ones where someone had some kooky idea, and it's just like
a fun, contained game that didn't have to be live service or have transactions?
They actually, you had to stop playing it and wait for them to mail you another 3.5-inch floppy to do a patch. At some point, they added microtransactions.
When they did patches back then, they mailed everyone a new floppy disk.
It was a thing where you would click that you wanted to buy something in-game, you would mail them 75 cents, and then they would mail you a floppy back, and you put that in, and it doesn't give you the asset, it just unlocks the asset in the original game files.
People think that the transactions are expensive now. The postage back then was ridiculous with the amount of letters we had to send, because there weren't even phones. You couldn't be on your phone and the internet at the same time, so you basically had to send everything by mail. A random one from me. I don't know if you guys ever played this, but we all remember the Oregon Trail. Did you guys play? I think we talked about this. Have you played Amazon Trail?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Amazon Trail is on my list. Oregon Trail has been remade. I would love to see like the actual Oregon Trail remade, which maybe has happened, but like there's 1,000 iterations of the Oregon Trail. I've never seen another attempt at Amazon Trail. I've not looked into it, to be fair, so maybe someone did, but like the original Amazon Trail was just, for me, I enjoyed it more than the Oregon Trail. It was just more kind of like relaxing, even though I still always died and never won. I remember that being really fun, like going around, like finding different like species and things, like I think you photographed them, and then like you would like be in your boat, which I don't know if it was a canoe or what it was, but you had like spears, you had like spear fish or something. I just remember really enjoying that.
I could never last long enough to enjoy it. For some reason, I always died almost immediately, and I don't know if it was just because we had a lot of demos, and I never knew. Some demos had ways where they ended the game, you know, when the content was over for the demo, and sometimes they just ended it by you dying, but I didn't know the distinction. So maybe I had like a demo version of it, and I only ever got to the point where it's like, game over, and I'm like, oh, I can't beat this puzzle. Yeah, long story short, I might be dumb. Yeah, might be.
No, that's a good one. Am I allowed to pick a console? I miss a lot of things about it, including several games that I was really attached to, but Dreamcast, man. I wish the Dreamcast, I wish that the some of the concepts of that console could come back around. I mean, like, they still exist.
That came after Saturn, right? It was Sega Saturn, then Dreamcast?
That was the last Sega console, wasn't it? Before they decided to just kill that part of their business and just make... It was such a good console. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was.
And there were several things, not to mention the least of which, the Dreamcast is where I got into sports games. The 2K... NFL 2K games on Dreamcast were like some of the first sports games I ever played where I was like, this is football. This is cool. But like in general, there's a lot of stuff about the Dreamcast that I loved and is very nostalgic for me.
Have I ever talked about like the time that I first played a Dreamcast? Yeah, I was over, it was at one of my brother's friend's house and they had a Dreamcast. So we go over there and I remember playing it and they had Sonic Adventures 2, I believe. And it was great. Like, I had never played a Dreamcast. The last console we had was an N64, and that was quite a step up. That was, like, equivalent to the PlayStation 2, I believe, right?
I think the N64 is PS1 era, wasn't it?
No, I meant the Dreamcast is PlayStation 2 era, right?
It might have been. And quick aside, I just learned this the other day, but Sonic, you can get Sonic games on Steam. Because I wanted to play Sonic Spinball, and I found out that that was actually in a Steam bundle for the Sonic games. And Sonic Adventure 2 is one of them.
The more you know, everyone. Yeah, so I basically played it nonstop, and then they went to bed, and the game was in a different room. It was like in a separate office area, and so I just was like, I'm gonna keep playing. I'll go to bed soon, and I just kept playing. I played all night. I stayed up all night playing Sonic Adventures 2, and I beat the game. Here's the thing, I beat the game. But when they woke up, they came in the room and I was still playing, and they're like, oh, did you get up before us? And I was like, no, I stayed up all night. I've been playing. Look, like, and they go like, no, you didn't. And I went, yeah, I did. Look, here I am. I'm at the end. Like, I beat it. And they're like, no, you didn't. And they got really mad at me as if I was lying about staying up all night and playing this. And I went, yes, I did. And I don't know how old I was at this point. So I was like, maybe like, what, like 12, something like that?
It came out in 2001.
Yeah, so 12-ish. And so, you know, just like, and then we, like, I fought with my brother's friend over the fact that I stayed up and played all night.
That sounds like a very kid fight.
And I don't understand why that was a fight or why they didn't believe me. It was not even like a I'm better than you kind of thing. I was just like, yeah, I stayed up all night. And they were just like, no, you didn't. Well, either way, I don't have any memory after that, so maybe they knocked me out. I have no idea.
I'm glad that we could bring that memory. You know what, Mark? Here's a point for that memory coming back. What about the original Diablo? I would love to see a sequel to Diablo 3. We haven't gotten that yet.
I think Diablo 4 came out.
Something came out. It's like, that's like the monkey's paw. I hear that's actually fun now from what people that kept playing it. I don't know. The original pay-to-win aspect was so absurd. But the original Diablo is one of those games that I played for so long. Even when Diablo 2 came out, there were times where people would come over and it's like, okay, well, if you're at your house, I'm at my house, we'll play Diablo 2. Or if we both have our computers, we'll play Diablo 2. But like, you just want to play some Diablo 1? And I love Diablo 1. I think that Diablo 2, and even Diablo 3, where it ended up being, I don't know if they're doing new seasons. I think they did their last season now. But those all ended up being great games. Diablo 3 was terrible at launch. After a couple of years, it finally got decent. I think Reaper of Souls made it really fun. And some of like the ways that they did the rifts in the end game were fun. I contend that Diablo 3 ended up in a better spot than Diablo 2 ever did. And I love Diablo 2. Diablo 4 so far has been just, they need a Diablo 4, but a remake of Diablo 1 I would love to see.
I don't know about this, because the thing is, if you go back, I've actually played Diablo 1, not terribly recently, but like a little bit ago. I downloaded it. I was just like, yeah, I've never actually played the first one. I was kind of curious. It still holds up. That's a crazy thing about that game.
Just graphically, it's more like a graphical overhaul.
Yeah, but I mean, like the graphical overhaul, it runs the risk of like, because it'll be graphically overhauled, and then you go like, yeah, that's graphics, but graphics never really matter, you know?
The Diablo 2 remake ended up good.
I didn't play that one, but I mean, like, I'm sure it was good. Like, I'm sure it worked.
Well, so some quality of life things were nice. Like Diablo, it's less of an issue, but there was still an issue with inventory space. I don't know if you remember the original Diablo, by the time you go to like Nightmare Hell, things get really expensive and gold. You need so much gold. You just had to leave gold and items on the ground. And there was always like a circle of stuff and crap on the ground around like Cain and Pepin and all that. Whereas Diablo 2, you had mules, you had other characters that held all of your shit. And it's like, oh, I want to trade. Hold on. Let me get my sorceress mule. But then the remake, they finally added like more stash tabs, just a few quality of life things like that didn't really change the game, but did help some quality of life things, because going back and dealing with that kind of sucked. So some minor changes like that, if they don't change the gist of the game, I'd be for, but you're right, they can ruin it.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's for those where like the quality of life things are nice, modern, like basically inventions in games, you know, people didn't even have the concept of some things, you know, they had to be started at some point. But also it's like, yeah, I guess with that one in particular, I feel like the game is tight enough and the gameplay is fun that I would look at it and be like, yeah, if you wanted updated that with new quality of life, that's kind of Diablo 3. You know, that's why that Diablo 4, I totally get. That's where I played Diablo 4 and I never finished the campaign because I just, it was weird. I got bored. Like, I don't know why. It started off like, okay, I'm getting skills. And then I just got so bored. I couldn't follow. The quests were so strewn about, sending me all over the place. And I know it was like to be like more free exploration, but I couldn't actually figure out what I was supposed to do.
I like the guiding of the axe more than the open world for Diablo itself.
Yeah, I feel like there's a mix, and they swung a little bit in the other direction because they were like Diablo 3, you know, a little too linear, but still with the random maps, like I don't mind linearity to an extent. It's not that I need rails, but like complete openness is fun so long as there is a reason to be completely open. But when you're trying to chase what is a linear story being told in pieces, it's very difficult to pick up exactly what you're supposed to do. I had to like pull out a guide for at some point just to be like, I don't know what this guy is talking about, because it has nothing to do with what that guy was talking about. He's at a different emotional state than this guy, and I didn't meet this guy yet, and I need to go here that I've never been. It's a little strange.
Do you guys have more that you can think of? I've got more I can talk about and bring up if you guys, but if you guys have more.
I'm still kind of thinking, I'm thinking of stuff that has remakes a lot. Like, oh, they should do Halo. Oh, wait a minute. I did that. I played that. That was pretty fun. If you have one, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So Quake, right?
I think I played Quake 3.
Yeah, Quake 3. That's what a lot of people have played. They played Quake 3 Arena, which is great. And they made that new Quake Arena, which I've heard is fun. But I tried playing it for a little bit, and everyone is so good at that because Quake 3 Arena is like a very, very twitchy boomer shooter, right? It's an old school, fast-paced arena battle. And I'm not too into PvP, and everyone there's so good. Like the lightning gun, they're better than like AI tracking military bots. They can lock onto anything and you die. But the thing is, like Quake 1, for me, my experience with Quake 1 is a lot more fear-based, and it was almost a horror game to me because it had like good shading and these big monsters. When the Shambler came out, I was terrified of the Shambler. I couldn't deal with the Shambler. The Shambler was a nightmare. Now with id or a Doom remake, that was such an evolution of the concept, and it was so badass and super fun. But when they made Doom 3, they tried to go this horror route because they had all these shadows. And in a weird way, I feel like if they remade Quake, they should not do what they did with Doom and make it this like fast-paced, extreme like shooter with like badass Doom guy. It should be a more horror-based thing. They tried Quake 4 at near the same time they did Doom 3, and it didn't work. But I feel like there's still a reason to revisit the concept, because in all honesty, it was terrifying to me anyway. And I would love to see an evolved concept of that. Not pure horror, because it still is just like you're shooting monsters and bad guys with guns. But maybe there's something there to revisit. I think a remake of that would be very, very cool.
I talked about this game a lot, and I was really excited whenever it showed up on Steam, and I think someone else bought the licensing for it, but then it's been dead. When PlayStation 2 first came out, one of the launch titles was an RPG called Summoner, and Summoner had a sequel, Summoner 2, which I thought improved a lot of things on Summoner, except for the one aspect of the fact that you didn't summon, you transformed, which drove me nuts, because it's like the game is called Summoner, please summon. I want another person in my party. I don't want to turn into a thing. Give me them in my party. I want them to remake Summoner and Summoner 2. I'd love like a more modern version of those, because like even at the time they were a little bit clunky compared to other RPGs. That was like the first one I'd ever played. So that was my introduction to the genre was Summoner. But I loved that series. I loved the lore. I got super into the world. Like I understood that there were different like gods and goddesses and things that they could do stories based on, and they only got to two of them. And it's like, okay, there's so much more. I want to see this. I want to know this. I want to get more into the world. Those games live rent free in my head at all times, and if they remade those and made sequels to those or whatever, I'd be all fucking over it. I don't remember how long the first Summoner was. I think my first playthrough took 30 or 40 hours, then like subsequent playthroughs were like 20 to 24 hours. Maybe not super long compared to others as far as RPG length, but at the time, like for me, I was used to games like Twisted Metal and stuff where it's like you go and you play for an hour and you're done. Investing that long into a game for the first time was like mind-blowing to me. It's like, this isn't like Lion King or Twisted Metal. This is a long game. Love to see Summoner, Summoner 2. I think THQ has or had it. I don't know who has it now, but my God, please.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm so sorry for taking a minute. You know what, Mark? Minus points for patience.
Wow. I have one I could talk about.
I'll wait. It's fine.
Oh, now you'll be patient. All right, you know what? Minus another point, Mark, for being patient for Bob.
What did I do to you?
Thanks, Mark. That's very respectful of me. No, look, so this is one that I can't finding stuff that, like, has been remastered and stuff, and they did all the ones I liked. Apparently I was gonna talk about Burnout Paradise because I love that game. They did a remaster, came out in 2018. I would love to see like a Burnout Paradise 2 where they take and expand on that specific style of the driving. But one that I feel like they haven't remastered, and I miss the original games more because I don't like the modern versions, Gears of War. I was an Xbox kid. I had the original Xbox very early on. And Gears of War came out in 2006. That was one of the first games where Halo were some of the first games where I got really into multiplayer stuff, and I would play it with friends a lot. I didn't even really like the entire original trilogy. I feel like Gears 2 was okay. Gears 3 started to lose me. And there was a Gears of War Ultimate Edition in 2015. So again, it's like this kind of was done, but I would love to see like a go back to the roots of Gears. Because everything like Gears 4 and 5 and all the subsequent stuff, I don't know if it's the complexity. I don't know if it's the tweaks to the weapons. Because games have to evolve, right? You can't just make the same game over and over and over again. But I'm very nostalgic for the original Gears of War in particular, and like the relatively limited weapon set and the way that the way it felt. I mean, the gameplay. There's a very particular type of feeling that Gears gunplay has because of the way the movement is and the third person and the... I would say the only thing I would miss from the new ones, and it would be fun to implement, is a horde mode in Gears of War, because that was a thing that Gears was sort of ahead of the curve on. I forget. I think it was Gears Judgment or Gears 4 maybe had horde mode pretty early when that was becoming like a popular mode that just every game had. I would love to see a return to the first Gears of War that's not just the Ultimate Edition from 2015.
You know what I love about Gears of War, specifically the first one? If I say the name out loud, it sounds like every mobile game that exists right now. Dot of da, blah of blah. But I never actually played the game that much. I think I played a little bit, and then I got destroyed by the other guy in the dorm. I've talked about that before. But what Gears of War introduced was, I was very big into game trailers. I was huge into trailers. I still love trailers to this day. I love making trailers. I love watching trailers. That trailer, the Mad World trailer, introduced to me the concept of strong tonal choices. Right? Because that, if you look at that trailer and you put any kind of popular, you know, you could put any song to that. The way that it was structured, shot, it had like this somber tone with Mad World, really establishing a strong choice that I don't know if it really carried through in the game itself, but in the presentation, as an art form of presentation in trailers itself, it really sparked something in me to be like, oh, this is storytelling in a super condensed way. way that if you make these strong tonal choices, you can not only give a sense of like the stakes, the emotions, the feeling of it. It was huge for me because it basically influenced a lot of what I wanted to do in terms of way down the road, but just in terms of like storytelling and art in general. And I didn't even know it at the time, but I was just watching that trailer over and over. I'd watch it for days. I became hyper fixated on the trailer and I would just watch it again and again and again. And I loved it. And even now, like if I watch it, it could still evoke like some emotions. And so like the ability to have emotions in something and no matter the setting, find that little like fragment to latch onto that could really speak to some people. And I think a lot of people might feel the same way, especially about that trailer. Like it was different. It was very different to have like this emotional side of this brutal, grueling war. And also look how pretty it is, you know, because that trailer's made in engine. So I was also following that and big on that. So very cool.
Did you have another one you wanted to get to, Mark, that you've been very patiently waiting for?
Am I allowed?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So there's this game called Sacrifice. I don't know if you guys ever heard. I think I mentioned this a while back whenever. So Sacrifice is a game. It came out. It's actually available on Steam, which I didn't know. So I might actually get this because, again, I had a lot of demos because demos were free. And, you know, I barely had a shoebox for a computer, let alone the money to be able to buy games. So I played the demo of that and it kind of reminded me of Summoner in a way. It's not the same, obviously, but it just had a very distinct look that I had never really seen, except for the games that you may notice. If you look at that game, the aesthetics of it are kind of similar to Magic Carpet 2 and some of the other games where it's like it's this kind of low poly but really weird texture 3D world with harsh shadows and like really intense contrast and magic abilities. It is this game where you have to, I think it's like a third-person real-time strategy or something like that, and you need mana and you need souls for sacrificing. If you want to summon things, you gotta sacrifice souls. You better be your enemies, and then you cast spells. I love that game. I loved Black and White, which is another game I'm just gonna throw out there. Like, I would love a remake of. I know Peter Molyneux, after, you know,
what is Black and White? I was thinking Pokemon Black and White, but you wouldn't be talking about Pokemon.
Oh my god, Black and White is such a good game. It's where you play a god, but you're like a hand, right? So you're a hand and you gotta like have followers and they worship you and you get power from their worship.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the title. I do know of this game.
Super cool game. Like Peter Molyneux, you know, he overpromised a ton of things, but in there he actually did, I don't know how much he did, but he spearheaded some really fun games, like really interesting concepts and like games that you don't see a lot of ways that these games come out as much anymore, like hopefully soon. God, there's just something about it, like being in command, civilization building. I don't like city builders that much, but I like this kind of all-encompassing, it's all part of a greater whole and there's a story being told through it. And you know, it's got this almost like scale to it that you can feel, either from the perspective of low on the ground or way up high overview. It had the scale of it, and also it was just fun and silly, and I don't know, it's just like good shit. Man, Black and White is another one.
Here's a weird one. I don't know that I want a remake of this one. I've got other ones on my list, but this is the one that I just thought of by looking at this game. There was a game kind of like the Civilization series, like Civ 1, Civ 2. It was called Destiny, and obviously trying to find it now by searching Destiny is going to be next to impossible because there's other games with that title. But I think like the box art was like a rocket ship taking off, and I don't know why, but I never got very far. I could never really figure the game out. But I remember clicking on a guy on a horse, and he went, "Can I help you?" And then you click somewhere else for him to go, and it would just go as he moved along. Don't really want a remake of it because I never figured out how to play it, but it made me think of that game.
The Stronghold 2, which did get remakes of and sequels of. And
dude, the Stronghold games are awesome. The remakes were pretty good.
The remakes was pretty good, but the sequels were ass. They tried to make the jump to 3D and it just never worked. I don't know about recent attempts, but Stronghold 2 Crusaders was like where it peaked. But the rest of the games and anything else they've tried to like go beyond it just didn't work. But every single time they do a remaster of Stronghold, people go back to it and like, God, this shit fucking fucks. It's great.
Yeah, it does. It slaps. It's got Riz. What's the thing?
That was when we had like a castle you built up with like archers and stuff like that and you had to get like resources. Yeah, okay.
And if you clicked your enemies, told them to go across a map, they'd go, that's a long way.
Yeah.
You know, just like they would say shit like that. It was so strange and silly.
It's like some of the original Command and Conquer bonkers, but it was like the, you know, medieval period version, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing where it's like, it's a city builder, but there's like a larger thing. It's real-time strategy. So you have like civilization living in, but you gotta not die.
I remember watching, I never played those, but I remember watching a friend play through those.
This is one where I don't know if it'll, if it would really recapture it, if there was like a remake, remaster, some situation. But I feel like this game flew under the radar for a lot of people, and I'm upset about it. Win Back Covert Operations on the N64. Did you guys ever play this game?
Win Back
Covert Operations. It was also called Operation Win Back outside the US market. It was an N64 title. It released in 1999, so it was in a tough spot for a third-person shooter to compete with games like Perfect Dark and GoldenEye and stuff like that. But like, it is a third-person, like, cover-based tactical shooter. It was sort of panned for the voice acting being pretty subpar in the American version. But like, I played this game with my dad on N64 multiple times, start to finish. And it's one of those where there's different endings you can get. You get the good ending and the bad ending. And there's, I think there's like maybe.
Oh, you can do cover in it? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's cover to cover. It's like pop out of cover to shoot. It's not like a heavy shooter. It's like a very like tactical, like secret. Top secret spy, you're infiltrating, you're shutting down laser traps, you're shooting out cameras. I feel like this game got overshadowed by some of the other heavy hitters on N64. It's just a fantastic game, and I don't know how it would work in a modern version, because part of it was the controls are kind of janky, right? It was an N64 game that where it was like cover-based shooting, jumping. It's janky. It was kind of janky, but it was janky in a way that was like very enthralling. And it also had some boss fights that were just very like, some were very epic and some were memorable for being funny but like stupidly easy. And there's one in particular I remember where you're basically in like a big control room and you're like, I think you're at the top and the boss is at the bottom or vice versa, and the boss just runs back and forth lobbing grenades towards your side and then saying goofy shit in between, and you just have to move back and forth from cover to cover and slowly kill him. But it was really funny, was what I remember. And I haven't played this game since I was like a kid. I would love to see Win Back as an IP come back as like a sort of modern tactical cover-based spy shooter type thing. I love that game.
It reminds me of like Time Crisis. Not in terms of the gameplay, because I bet they're different, but in the kind of the cover mechanics and the aesthetics of it, maybe it's just that era. But everyone in arcade worlds know Time Crisis. Like, I wish arcades would come back. I know they're still around, but I don't think there's many new games being made for them. Like, I went to Dave & Buster's like a couple years ago, and you know, new games are not really coming out. They kind of got stuck 10 years ago, but dude.
There's an arcade in Newport on the Levee, which is a thing in Cincy. There's an arcade in Newport that has a game that's an imported, I think it's rare, but it's rare in North America. It's an imported Initial D drifting driving game cabinet. It was the coolest thing ever. I saw it. It's the first time I've ever seen it. And I love cars and drifting in particular. And it's an Initial D, like official Initial D, which if you don't know, is like a big drifting car anime thing. It's a fantastic show. And it was so cool. I almost like shit a brick when I saw it, because I was like, wait, that driving game says Initial D on it. It was just very cool. I've never like played. I'm not an arcade guy, so I've never like sought out, you know, rare cabinets or whatever. But this was like literally imported, not a North American market thing. It was so cool. And the game was so fun. I wish Americans got games like that. Like, damn.
Well, I just heard, I was looking up arcades, like if I could see new releases. And, you know, they got a lot of rhythm things coming out. But it just said, oh, during COVID-19, many arcades in Japan shut down.
A couple more I got to throw out there before we wrap up. You guys, if you have more too, that's fine. Knights of the Old Republic, I think they are working on one. I would love to see a Knights of the Republic 3. Are they working on a 3? I think they're remaking 1 is what they're doing right now.
I think it's the original KOTOR.
I actually have never played KOTOR 1. I only played KOTOR 2, because that was the one they had at like Best Buy when I was a kid. They had KOTOR 1 on the or KOTOR 2 on the shelf, so I got it and I played it. I know what happens in 1, but I never played it. But Knights of the Old Republic 3 would be great. Remakes of Fallout 3 and New Vegas would be great. A weird one's Need for Speed Most Wanted specifically. A Bloodborne sequel, and then anything with Twisted Metal. I think they just canceled a Twisted Metal game. It was supposed to be a live service game, which is kind of, maybe it would work for that, I don't know. love the original games. They don't really need to do anything crazy. Just make Twisted Metal 2 again. That was the best one. Those are the last things on my list for the most part. You guys have any more before we wind down? Feel free to throw them out.
Yeah, I guess I feel a little bit like a poser here. I feel like I don't have that many. I like a lot of new stuff. I know people, it's easier to talk shit about the state of games. I feel like there's been a spoil of riches in my lifetime of video games. I don't spend a lot of time pining after old stuff. I'm kind of look forward a lot, so I don't know.
That's fair. Well, looking through this, there were a lot of people that were like, none, give me new IPs.
There are IPs that I would love to see new games in just to have more of that. Like the Fable, the Xbox IP Fable. Those games have their problems, and I thought that was a pretty solid trilogy. Fable games were very fun. I'd love to see more stuff set in the world of Fable, with like the sort of established mechanics and the way, like, I would play more Fable. I don't know where that, who owns that, but fascinating world. Want to see more of it.
It's like, the crazy thing about the games that, you know, Peter Molyneux hypes up is you can see the potential. That's what I've always known about those games, is like, he always overpromises and it always underdelivers. But with Fable, it's like, you can see where they wanted to go with it. And you're like, yes, I applaud you for trying, because wow, that was a good idea. Didn't stick the landing 100%. But it was close. So you can like fill in the gaps. And I think that's where like the older games kind of work to the advantage, because like they don't look as good as games can look nowadays, but your imagination fills in the gaps. And I'm like, I don't know, sometimes leading things to imagination like that is all right.
Do you think if they ever made Half-Life 3, we'd get a Garry's Mod 2?
I mean, couldn't there be a Garry's Mod? Is Garry's Mod Source 2 updated? Is that the way? I don't even know anything about that.
God, I don't even know. I haven't thought about Garry's Mod in ages.
I know, but that was one we used to make content all the time, play around and screw around in.
Of course, people still play it all the time.
I'm not in a minute, but JP and I were doing the horror maps. We were going back and still playing Gmod horror maps and new horror maps that have been coming out. But they just, a lot less people are working on it, so you get a lot less content now than obviously you did 10 years ago. But like, it's still around, still exists, you can still play it, but it's less things are made than used to be.
There is no Garry's Mod on Source 2 engine, but there is a game called S&Box, which is a Source 2 thing.
I forgot that it's the studio that made Garry's Mod that made Rust. I forgot that that was also their thing.
Hey, Rust is one of those that helped me blow up way back in the day on YouTube, and then they took out the zombies, and I don't know what it became, but man, it was toxic, but God, it got more toxic.
It's custom Rust servers, contemporary custom Rust servers are fun, because like I played on one for a while a couple years ago where a friend and I opened a car dealership where we made a huge building. We had our own wind turbine power sources. It was like a huge multi-story complex, and then we would just go out and get salvage cars from the map, bring them back, fix them up, and then try and sell. We functioned as a car dealership.
There were cars in Rust now?
Yeah, there are cars, and they're all modular. You get a chassis, and the length of the chassis determines how many like sections you can have, but you can have like, you need an engine, but then you can have like an armored compartment, or you can have like a, you know, like a truck bed type thing. That was fun, but that was like a role play server. That wasn't fun because it was Rust. That was fun because we were operating a car dealership in a world filled with people who were all just trying to murder each other in the most extreme way as possible.
All right, well, that's gonna do it, unless like, so you guys have last minute things. That was a good discussion. I enjoyed that, and not having a whole lot's fine, Bob. I feel like I said, a lot of people just want new IPs anyway, but you gave some good suggestions, Bob. You ended up with 5 10 15 16 points total.
Doesn't sound like a lot.
One of those came from, I marked creepy point. I don't remember what you said that was creepy, but you got
we were talking about the sniffing and stuff.
Okay, well, you got a creepy point for that. You lost 3 points to Len's discussion, so you went from 16 to 13.
Three?
Yeah. So 13 points was your final.
Okay, well, that's bad.
Mark, I had you at 5, 10, 15, 18 points. You also lost 3 points to Lenses.
Okay.
And then you lost 2 impatience points for me, and then another impatient point for tolerating Bob's, being patient for Bob, but not me. So you lost 6 total, which brings you to 12. Yeah, you were doing great, Mark, and then you were impatient whenever I was talking, and you're like, I got a game, let me talk. And then when Bob went to talk, you're like, oh, Bob, I can wait. And that made me even more upset, so I penalized you for it.
I humbly apologize for not being patient with you, and I just want to say that I'm sorry for my actions and how they have impacted you, and I will try to be better in the future.
I marked N-Ice-T-R-Y. Bob, you win.
Hey!
Oh, I couldn't tell what you saw. I was very confused.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. I think if my delayed outrage isn't going to land as nicely.
Mark can spell.
Yeah, so I guess, Bob, you go first with your winner's speech.
You know, it feels good to win.
What? Give me a point. Give me a point.
What? It's not focused. So
give me the,
with.
Point. I'm warning you.
Or you're going to.
Oh, it's a shotgun microphone. I see. I get it.
Oh.
I get it.
I thought it was just like a little plastic, like, basket. Okay, that's a lot more threatening now that I know it's a shotgun mic.
I thought it was like a slingshot. That would have been really...
Yeah, that would have gotten you.
Yeah, if you'd shot your lens, I would have been... I might have given you the point.
Okay, well...
Destroy your lens, Mark. Do it. Destroy
oh,
it.
Oh, no!
Specifically the one from Jesus.
Anyway, yeah, it feels good to win, even though I engaged in lens talk like an absolute loser. You know, thank you for taking pity on me, and congratulations to myself. I'm the best.
Well said. Mark, loser speech brought to you by... Is it brought to you by anyone today?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't think so.
Never mind.
Well, either way, I think this just goes to show that apologies never work, so never apologize for anything. Be bold, be brash, and go forward in life without ever apologizing to Wade.
I disagree. I think your apology... made me feel better, and I appreciate your apology. You just don't get to be rewarded for doing something bad then apologizing for it. You just get forgiven.
Anyway, matter about lenses. I'm going to use this time as my loser speech.
That's all the time we have. Thank you guys so much for watching. If you haven't already, mute Markiplier, and you can find him at Markiplier. You can find Bob at MySkirm, me at Minion777, or LordMinion777. Merch, it's coming, so don't hold your breath, but do keep an ear and an eye out. However, if you're in your car, keep both eyes on the road.
What you should do is you should go to store.distractablepodcast.com and spam refresh.
Yeah, it'll pop up eventually.
That'll definitely help merch appear faster. Stay tuned for the next one where Bob will host. I'm sure he's got something great for us, and until then, podcast out.